As we begin another program here on The More Abundant Life, I hope that you will stay tuned because we have something very special in store for you. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life. This radio program features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps. Today's title is Lord Have Mercy on Me. Pastor Phipps will be speaking on this title. This is program number 154 in our series, and I invite you to stay tuned because the message will begin as soon as we hear a special song entitled Amazing Grace by Wendley Phipps.
You have your Bibles with you. I just want to draw your attention to a scripture in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Verse 46 and 47. The word of God says, "And they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus and a great number of people, the son of Timaeus sat by the highway side doing what?
Begging.
And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.'" My message this morning: Lord, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus was an extraordinary biblical figure. Not only was he blind, shut in about by darkness, he could see neither shape or color, but somehow he listened to the story of Jesus. And he was sitting in his usual place when he heard the trampling of feet. He sat up straight trying to listen to what all the commotion was about. And as he listened, he understood that Jesus was in town. Not only was he in town, but he was coming up his street. Not only was he coming up his street, but he was going by just the stoop he was sitting on. And so Bartimaeus got up on his feet, shouting, hollering, crying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." The folks around him were saying, "Be quiet, old man. He's busy. He doesn't have time for you." Or, you know, we treat people so unkindly. I read a story of a man who was on a business trip one day and stayed in a hotel that had a bug problem. I don't know if you've ever stayed in a hotel with a bug problem. I've done that a few times in my life, where you got into the bed and after about 5 minutes you realized you were not alone. This man complained to the management. I'm talking about how people can treat you so shabbily. Complained to the management, and later on he received a letter of response to his complaint signed by the president of the hotel chain. It said, "We are humiliated that a man of your integrity, a man of your reputation, a man of your importance in the community should have had this experience in one of our hotels." Well, this made the man feel a little better about the situation. But as he was folding the letter to put it away, he noticed a little piece of paper at the bottom of the letter. It read, "Send this guy the bug letter." Think about that for a minute. He really was not that important. Unfortunately, we treat people like that. We don't really care about what is going on in their lives. Well, Bartimaeus, his eyes were open. Jesus asked him what he wanted. He said, "Just to receive my sight." And the Lord blessed Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus was able immediately to begin seeing. Someone said maybe Bartimaeus wasn't that blind after all. Perhaps he saw more on that day than everybody else who was following Jesus. Perhaps he caught a flash of insight, because it was from that flash that he cried out, "Son of David, I need mercy. Have mercy on me." And not only did he cry, but he was persistent, even when the crowd was trying to shush him up. Amen. Now, Bartimaeus may not have understood everything of the work and purpose of Christ, but he could see with a spiritual vision that his need was mercy. Mercy. Well, brothers and sisters, even Jesus' disciples weren't able to see sometimes. The ones who were with him all the time. Sometimes you need spiritual vision to see. I ask you, how blind are we sometimes? Some of us think we're really blind because we need glasses to see. But I want you to know that spiritual vision is what we really need to see that we need God's mercy. Stay with me this morning. We need the love of God because we are blind to God's offer of mercy. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, verse 8. God offers us mercy. Praise God. Psalm 103, verse 8 said, "The Lord is merciful." He is what? And gracious. He is slow to anger. He is what? Plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Praise God. One day, a mother who had sought the pardon of her son from Napoleon said to her, "Ma'am, I cannot free your son. It was his second offense, and justice demands his death." "I don't ask for justice," demanded his mother. "I plead for mercy." "But," said the emperor, "he does not deserve mercy." The mother cried out, "Emperor, it would not be mercy if he deserved it." Mercy. All throughout the scriptures, when men and women have come to Jesus, they've always, so many of them, cried out, not for their healing the first moment they spoke to Christ. They captured the attention of Christ by crying out for mercy. Mercy. Now, most ministers don't talk a lot about mercy. Because to talk about mercy, you got to talk about the reason we need mercy. And the reason we need mercy is because we serve a God of justice. Most ministers hesitate to face up to this awful truth, but all throughout the centuries, whenever there's a revival of God's Spirit that has taken place, it is because folks finally realize they need mercy. But to understand your need for mercy, you've got to understand God's justice. There are few things in life as awesome and as awe-inspiring as a single person standing alone in a hall of judgment. To stand before a judge by yourself, to see someone holding a pair of scales. Jesus made it perfectly clear that judgment is coming, brothers and sisters. As a matter of fact, our scriptures in Revelation tell us that judgment is here. It has come. God never judges a man. I'm so grateful that he doesn't judge us by snapshots at particular moments in our lives. Some of us would like the Lord to catch us on the way to church and rush that to the judgment hall. But God does not judge us by our occasional good deeds or occasional misdeeds. He judges us by the general tendency of our character. You see, the Pharisee and the publican praying in the temple, at that particular moment, the Pharisee thought he was better than the publican. He had done far more, but in the broken heart of the publican, God saw much more. John Newton, God didn't catch a snapshot of him when he was a slave trader. Thank you, Jesus. If he did, he would have been condemned to the lowest pit. But John Newton was converted, became a minister, wrote the words to Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Aren't you glad that God in his mercy doesn't just catch you at your worst moment? Sometimes, you know, you have to factor in, and God, listen to me carefully, this is really frightening. Sometimes God factors in, when he's judging us, the influence we leave even after we die. You write a bad book, an obscene novel, the man who writes it makes a living by it, then he dies, but the book doesn't die. Year after year, it goes on corrupting people. Are you listening to me? Degrading people, lowering inhibitions and spiritual principles. That's why it is when the Son of Man comes, when time is done, when your influence has gone to the uttermost limit, he judges you by that too. In all quarters of the world today, men and women are crying for justice. All I want is justice. Someone said, no justice, no peace. They said, I just want to be treated fairly. Yes, justice is good. God himself is the transcendent expression of justice. The way of justice, of perfect justice, is God's way. But that is our very problem, that God is just. Because if God is just, if he is only just, we've got a problem. Jeremiah said, this I recall to my mind. Lamentations 3:21-23. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Thank you, Jesus. It is because of God's mercy that we are not consumed. Just look at our lives in the past. Look at the things we've done. It is because of his mercy that we have not been consumed, and because, listen to this, his compassions fail not. Hallelujah. They are, come on now, they are new every morning. His mercies are, oh, thank you, Jesus. His mercies are new every morning. Oh, I thank God that God's way of dealing with us is the way of mercy. God's people are sustained by his mercy. The record of God's dealings with man have been a story of mercy. You look at Noah being rescued. That was mercy. You look at Abraham. Abraham, I'm talking about, no, she's not my wife, she's my sister. God dealt with Abraham with mercy. Moses, the children of Israel, the prophets, Judah, Israel. In the days of Caesar Augustus, when God's time had come, the hour of judgment had struck in that time, Jesus came and he said, I have come to bring mercy. Hallelujah. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, be of good cheer. Your sins have been forgiven. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus was the walking personification of God's mercy. Thou son of David, cried Bartimaeus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Jesus, his life given in payment for our sins, was the personification of mercy. I'm glad that God's mercy is for everybody. How about you? The words of our Lord, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all to me. I am not particular. I'm not giving mercy to some and then I'm holding it back to others. I offer to everybody mercy. And we in the church sometimes forget that. That we all are in the fellowship of mercy. We forget that. The church is nothing else than the fellowship of those to whom God has shown his mercy. I like that bumper sticker. You remember that bumper sticker that said that the Christian is not perfect, he's just forgiven. Hallelujah. We rejoice, and we as church members ought to rejoice that we have the common gift of mercy. And it is mercy guaranteed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is mercy guaranteed by the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. We need God's mercy today. Amen? Because you know we're too petty. We're too mean. Help me, Jesus. Our thoughts are too evil. We are too selfish. We are covetous of our hearts. In our hearts, we are indulgent as parents too often. We are disobedient as children. We've got appetites that run us crazy. I heard somebody say the other day, you know, it's amazing when you try. Have you ever tried to kick anything and see how difficult it is? We have pride. We need mercy, God's mercy. We have the speech that wounds our brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to say something to you that I want to be careful how I say it to you. I don't know what it is, but so often when people embrace truth, they become cold and hardened. God teach us to be warm people, to be tender people, to be people who understand that we are the recipients of mercy. Because you see, when you understand that you've been blessed with God's mercy, you don't try to hold that mercy back from other people. Amen? The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Since God's way with us is the way of mercy, we must now go about and show mercy to others. We daily live under God's mercy. We enjoy the mercy of God in Christ. This mercy of God ought to become the dynamic power of our lives. It ought to color how you look at your brother. It ought to color how you see your sister. It ought to color how you treat other people. Because in the spotlight of God's judgment, you and I, we are just sinners in need of mercy. The world in which we live needs God's mercy. And they need people who are willing to go tell them that God is merciful. You ought to tell it on your job. You ought to tell it in your home. You ought to tell it everywhere. Now, this morning, God put this thought, this word on my heart, because somebody, and really not somebody, all of us, are desperately in need of forgiveness. Something that has taken place in our lives. You see, God has been recording our lives with an accuracy
that will stun us, that will shake us. And whatever in your life you have done that you know you need God's mercy, now is the time to finally come before the Father and ask Him, like Bartimaeus, Son of God, have mercy.
That concludes our message for today. I do hope that you have enjoyed the message, and if you would like to obtain a copy of today's message by cassette tape, I invite you to call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again is 301-577-6342, and you're going to ask today for program number 154, which gives you the title, Lord, Have Mercy on Me. Until next time, remember the words of John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Reach down inside your heart and show you really care. Someone may find